number two. Want to hear from you guys, 303-713-1043, ramoslaw.com, text line right there. Let us know how you're feeling. We're going to talk a little bit about the Denver Nuggets and what they were able to do last night, getting a win 110-105 down at Ball Arena over the San Antonio Spurs. Oh, the Spurs are bad. They're 18-58 on the year. The Nuggets get to win number 53, 31 of those bad boys down at Ball Arena. And Nikola Jokic, he's great. He scored 42. He also passed Carmelo Anthony last night as the third all-time leading scorer for the Denver Nuggets. Yeah, what's the over-under on Melo responding on his podcast? A day and a half? 2.5 days?
Talking whatever about, comes out, yeah.
Yeah, the next episode?
Right.
is what
boo-hooing about, like, you know, the Nuggets gave this guy his jersey. They're trying to erase him from the history of the
he is still behind Dan Issel and Alex English. He'll pass Dan Issel at some point next season. Alex,
okay, how many points?
Nikola now has 13,978.
Okay.
Dan Issel has 14,659.
Okay.
So he will get to that next season.
Yeah.
Alex could score now.
Dang.
21,645.
Whoa.
He is the leading scorer there. Whoa. By 7,000 something.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, how many points does Jokic usually score in a season? Like, what does he score?
4,000 to 5,000.
Huh?
4,000 to 5,000. Remember a couple years ago, he was the first
4 NBA. 4,000 to 5,000, but he only has 13,000 right now?
Wasn't he the first NBA player to score 5,000 points, 2,000 assists, or 2,000
like
rebounds,
yeah,
and 1,000?
But like, well, he only has 13,000. How many years has he played?
Well, he's only been this good for like 3 years.
No, longer than 3 years, 5 years.
Okay, 5 years.
Okay. 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
5 years. So, Kisner, what do we got over there, Chicken Fingers?
He's reached over 2,000 just one time.
Oh, maybe I had a 2,000,
yeah,
1,500.
Yeah, right, yeah, you're a little bit off there. I knew that because the math just didn't add up, because it wasn't like he wasn't scoring points in the other year. So, okay, so so let's just say you said 2,000 one time?
Yeah.
What are the other numbers the last few years? Because just like 1,800?
I mean, 1,690 last year, 2004, 1,898.
Okay.
He's got 1,924
okay,
right
let's
now.
Say 1,600 points for the next 5 years. What is that?
1,600 points over 5 years?
Oh, that's 75, like 7,800 or so, 7,900, something like that.
Well, I'm bad at even math
8,000?
On the calculator. It
right
is 8,000 exactly.
Okay, right around. Okay, so 8,000 plus. So if he's on a pace for the next 5 years with 1,600 points, he'll pass.
He'll pass Alex English.
Alex English. So that's kind of what you're looking at. Next 5 or 6 years, he can pass Alex English to be the all-time Nuggets scoring. Yeah,
the franchise leader in scoring.
Yeah,
yeah.
Better said.
That would
not me.
That makes him
that
35
guy.
Years old at that point.
Okay.
Well, there's another. Let's address the elephant in the room there.
Oh.
Is he still playing professional basketball at 35 years old?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know. I say yes. I say yes.
I think so, too.
You know, I think as you get older and, you know, he has a kid now and it's like, all right, you know, I want to keep doing this. But, you know, obviously he's not like most professional athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Thinks a little bit differently. Maybe he wants to be done. Who knows? I think the wear and tear on his body's not as much as other guys, so he can his longevity should be there still, and his athleticism, the way that he plays a game, translates to me to playing until your late 30s
mm-hmm.
and playing at a high level, right? Below the rim. He's not jumping above. The way that he plays, you could see him play for a long, long time if he wants to. So, and obviously he's done a great job here in the last 3 or 4 years of transforming his body and being just in great shape. The guy's a machine
mm-hmm.
is what he is. And so you look at his body 5 years ago and look at what he looks like now. I mean, it's night and day. And so that lends itself to playing longer if he wants to. So I hope he does. I think he deserves that. And he should have that and be the all-time Nuggets leading scorer. So hopefully he gets it at some point. But you're looking at probably 6 years maybe.
Okay. Yeah, probably right around there. But he will get there. And it's just a big one. Obviously, Carmelo is the big name that you're passing right there. And because of what he is for Nuggets history and kind of what he's made himself now as a Nuggets former player and star for the team. Just a big name to pass on that all-time list. I want to talk about MPJ. I know you had some beef with MPJ over missed shots last night.
Well, he only misses shots when Jokic passes him the damn ball. But other than that, no. Come on, man. I'm grinding over the triple-double. That's what I'm doing. And it's frustrating when these guys can't knock down wide-open shots. Double's coming. Jokic is finding guys wide open. And it's clank, clank, clank. I'm like, guys, come on. And then someone else passes on the ball, and it's swoosh, swoosh, swoosh. Like, it's driving me absolutely nuts. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, what about his 16 rebounds, a career high?
Yeah, again, driving me crazy, okay? Why? Oh, 16 rebounds. Yeah, career high. Great job. Bravo, bravo. You're stealing Jokic's rebounds. You're taking them from him. Jokic is already always right there, too, about to go up and get it. And here comes Michael Porter Jr. out of nowhere, flying through the lane. Ooh. Oh, okay. That's cute, Michael. Thank you for stealing that. No one's around, right? So it's the Nuggets going to get the rebound, but he just steals so many dang rebounds from Jokic. It's crazy. Y'all start paying attention to that.
Dude, there were a couple last night where I'm like, Stokes yelling at his TV right now.
Exactly. And it wasn't as bad last night because of that, because he already had the rebound.
Yeah.
And he had a big night with 16 rebounds. But it's when he's, 7, 8, 9 rebounds late in the game, And it's the same thing. Here he comes out of nowhere. Like, all right, just let Jokic get the dang rebound, right? Mm-hmm. And nope, Michael Porter Jr. flying all the way from the corner, jumping up and stealing one from him. Yes, that drives me crazy.
There were a couple things with Mike. Yes, that's one of the things that you hate. But he struggled shooting the ball a little bit last night. We were actually just talking about it in the break. Late, though, Stoke. It's a tie game, 105-105. Christian Brown driving to the rim. Christian saw old Wimby in the
peripheral. Yeah.
And then made a business decision the other way to not try and dunk it, and found Michael standing at the elbow. It was one of those ones where I was the same way. I'm like, go up and dunk that thing with two hands, young fella. And then he passed it to Michael, and I'm like, okay, if he makes this, you made the right decision.
Right.
You missed this, we got to have a conversation, CB. But he made it. It was 108-105. That was a huge shot for Michael. That kind of ended it. Joker hit a couple more free throws, but that three-pointer specifically from MPJ, huge after he struggled all night.
Yeah, spot on. I 100% agree with everything you said. I was watching it, and I'm like, man, hey, String Bean wants to come over here, I'm going to punch it in his face. Right? I'm slamming this on his head.
Yeah.
I want Sports Center, top 10. I want the number one.
Right.
I'm going up. Come on over here, String Bean. Right? You're going to get dunked on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because Christian Brown ain't scared, and he's got the hops. So I'm like, look, go up and try to, posterize Wembanyama. And he didn't do it. It's like, oh, my goodness, what are you doing, dude? And found Michael Porter Jr., and Michael Porter Jr. rewarded him. I two thumbs up to that shot by him. Not his best shooting night, obviously, but when it mattered the most, do you make the shots or don't you?
Yep.
And he did. So, hey, nice job. I give him a hard time about the triple-double. I'm joking for the most part, not fully joking, because,
sure.
And the rebounds, joking a little bit, but still it does take me off. But, hey, way to make the shots when you got to make the shots with the game on the line. Yep. And he was able to do that. So good job. But Christian, go up there and dunk it on his head.
Yeah, I would have loved to see it. I want to get back to Mike because there were some moments last night, one particular sequence where he staggered with a bench, and I saw something that I'm like, that could work if I change some of his approach. And I'll tell you that is when we get back to the Nuggets conversation coming up. We wondered if the Rockies were ever going to get back to 500. We wondered that when they were 1-2. Now they're 1-5. It doesn't feel like they'll ever see 500 baseball
again. Never.
So I have an idea. I'm stealing it from the morning show, so it might be a bad one. But an idea about adopting a whole new baseball team and starting this fan process all over again. Details next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
/11:16 on a Wednesday. Nuggets win last night. Rockies, they do Rockies stuff. They lose in embarrassing fashion.
Are they the worst team in baseball? Huh? I mean, I know the Athletics, they haven't spent any money. I think when you look at the money spent on the team,
mm-hmm.
and then what we're watching, I don't know how you could be worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what team could be worse than the Colorado Rockies right now.
At least the Oakland Athletics are leaving. Like they're moving on. You know, there's something to hope for that, hey, things are going to change when they go to Las Vegas. At least that's what a fan base can hope. But, yeah, I think.
But this year, like, you know, like what? Is there a worse team right now?
No. No, there's not.
I mean, these guys can't catch a pop fly or field a ground ball.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple winless teams, but I don't know that the Mets and the Marlins. Mets at 0-4. The Marlins are at 0-6. But it's just the overall kind of consensus of, yeah, this team is bad. They lost 100 games a year ago. You know, the Mets at least have some names on that roster that you're going to recognize. I'm not sure the Rockies have even that because they're recognizable names, Stoke, is Chris Bryant. And homeboy's 0-16 in the 5 games that he played because he's already been given a day off because he was 0-14. And Buddy Black decided, hey, let's give him a day off so we can get right mentally. Came back and went 0-2 last night. So for me, I don't care much about the Mets or the Marlins. And the Marlins are kind of one of those teams that go into the dumpster for a few years and come out of it on the other side smelling like roses and make a run. They're the worst overall team in baseball by far for me.
Yeah, minus 33 run differential right now.
Oh, so that's the worst in franchise history through 6 games.
Well, it's the worst in baseball right now, too. So, I mean, we have seen history being made with this team, right, in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And it started in the third inning of the first game of the season, giving up 14 runs. So, it's like, and the thing that really stinks here is, you know, you go into a season, I don't care what sport you're in, I don't care what people think on the outside, you go into a season optimistic that, hey, let's go on a little run here, guys. Right? Let's do something this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what you're talking about in spring training or training camp or, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever sport you're in. And then all of a sudden, it's like, that's done. Oh, you still got 156 games left, right? They play 162.
They do.
And you know it's a wrap. Like, all you're trying to do now is, as an individual, just do your best. All the team stuff is done. It's a wrap. You don't care about the team. Like, do you want to win? Yeah, you want to win, but you're more concerned with taking care of your business now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're only 6 games into the season. That's not how you wanted the season to go. Like, you know it's a wrap already. Like, there's no even false hope. There's no false hope here. It's done. It's over.
All right, so with that being said, because you're 100% right, this thing is over. Who now should we adopt as a Major League Baseball team that we go to watch? And I'll give some credit to the morning show. Heard them talking about this yesterday, and they said, we're just done with the Colorado Rockies. We're not going to talk about them. We don't want to watch them. And you're going to talk about them when they do terrible things because, like you said, it's that train wreck or car crash on I-25 that everybody turns their heads for. So should we follow suit? Should we adopt another baseball team that we kind of keep our eye on once the postseason gets here? You have something to root for. Maybe you get a little action on this team that keeps it going for a little while. I really like the idea. I want us to collectively decide upon the team that we're going to root for. The morning show has hitched their wagon to the Baltimore Orioles. And I actually really like the Baltimore Orioles. That was going to be a team that I suggest, but I don't want to like roll with them.
No. Like, we got to separate. I do like the Orioles too. Young team, and they're you know, up and coming team there. So that was a good pick by them. But I like this idea.
And the Baltimore Orioles, Baltimore's, it's a special place for both of us. You did some great things there. I told my sweetie Kelsey that I loved her for the first time there in Baltimore.
That's so cute.
We were holding. So let me tell you the story.
Hands.
We're holding hands,
going down the Inner Harbor, and
we're walking on that cobblestone road right there. And we're actually walking to a Baltimore Orioles game.
Oh.
And we had been dating for a little while, you know, and had thought about it. And,
wow.
You know, I was scared and
nervous. Arms sweating.
Yeah.
Knees weak.
Were weak.
All
arms were heavy.
Yeah, all that. Yeah.
And she's walking out in front of me, and I'm behind her. I'm like, what a beautiful young lady that is. What a setting this is, too. Summer, we're in Baltimore. This is great. And I said, hey, baby. She turned around. And I said, I love you.
Oh, my goodness.
And then
wow.
She hugged me.
Yeah.
I spun her around like in slow motion. Her feet were in the air. Both of our hairs were twirling in the wind. It looked beautiful.
Wow.
And then we went and had
this is getting better and better. And then you went and had?
Then we went and had a lovely evening at the Orioles game and watched them. I'm not sure how it ended because we were having some other fun, too, and, you know, paid attention to other stuff. But it was a fun night.
Okay.
And that's why Baltimore, it was going to be my vote. And then the morning show picked it.
All right. Well, I could, yeah, that's, That's a picture. I'm just like the both y'all's hair just right, kind of yeah. blowing in the wind.
And we weren't spinning in slow motion, but that's how everyone saw it
yeah,
from their
course,
perspective.
Of course. Yeah. So that's a I'm glad you shared that one, Josh. thank you. I know our listeners are too.
Yeah.
So it can't be Baltimore now, unfortunately, because that would have been perfect for you. So who do we got? Let's go American League, I think. Maybe we go National. We can go, like, the East.
Do we join Drew and his love for the Cubs?
Heck no. I can't stand the Cubs.
Good.
I can't stand the Cubs at all. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they got some good choices here. I kind of like the Rangers. I'm going to throw out some suggestions if you have any suggestions. I'm not doing anyone in the American League East. Definitely not the Yankees.
No.
We're not doing the Red Sox, Rays. So we're going to leave the East alone. You got the Guardians, Tigers, Twins. Those are three kind of there in the Central.
Okay.
In the West, you got the Rangers, the Mariners, Astros. A lot of people hate the Astros. I don't hate them.
I do.
Okay, so we can't do the Astros. who sticks out?
I have a couple. I like Seattle. I like that name. The Rangers, I like. John Gray's there. It's a little old-time friend, right?
Long hair like
long
you.
Hair.
He cut it, though, didn't he?
Yeah, it's not as long. All right. But they're also the reigning World Series champions. Then do we become bandwagoners if we hitch our wagon to that team? Which I'm not opposed to. I'm just asking.
Yeah. We don't want to. They won it last year, so
okay.
They don't need our support.
What about the Atlanta Braves?
Hey, that's what I was thinking.
You were thinking the Braves?
Yep, that's what I was about to say that. Let's go with the Braves.
Let's go with the Braves.
I like the Braves.
All right.
They got a good team, too.
They do.
So we on this show, we are winners.
Yes.
Okay? And so we win, and Atlanta Braves are winners.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense
to go
with a winner, mm-hmm. and that's what we're doing. The Colorado Rockies aren't winners.
No.
That's why we're not watching them, and we divorced them.
Yeah.
It is a divorce.
That's right.
Done. So we've just divorced the Colorado Rockies, and we have married the Atlanta Braves.
Yes.
Love it!
Yeah, we just put a ring on the finger of the Atlanta Braves. That's what we did right here. And you know what? It's also like, you're older than me. I'd like to remind you of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like the Braves were on TV. The Braves were a team that everybody got to see because of the, was it Turner Sports, right?
Yeah.
And the relationship
right.
that they had there. Like, so you're watching the Braves be great. And with those pitchers that they had and Chipper Jones and then Andrew Jones coming in and everybody that they had. So I like this. We are Braves fans today. Do we order Braves gear or do we wait for
it? Yeah, I'm not going that far.
Okay.
But we'll just give them our support right
okay.
now.
Okay.
But if they do something great,
yeah.
then we'll order some gear.
Okay. I like that.
And it's because of us.
It is because of us.
If they take that step and win it all. So I love it. I like that pick. That's what I was looking at. You said it. It's
nice.
Just a match made in heaven.
Perfect.
And here we go. Atlanta Braves.
Yep. That's that now when people are be like, hey, are you 39 wearing two chains? I'm going to be like, oh, I'm a Braves fan. Ronald Acuna, you know.
Right.
I just like him so much. That's the reasoning now.
There it is.
So perfect. This is all working out great. Who are you rooting for? Are you going to adopt
a new? He wears like 10 chains, doesn't he?
I'll get there.
Yeah.
Right.
You got to keep up, man.
That's right. Are you going to adopt the new baseball team like we have done and like the morning show has done? And if so, who is it that you will be adopting? 303-713-1043. We'll get back to that conversation, catch up to some of your texts. I want to turn our attention back to the Broncos a little bit, Stoke. Talk about where they are after creating all this cap room with releases, restructures, and then didn't do much with it. Why? We're going to try to figure that out coming up next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Morgan tying into our new baseball team that we love with the Braves.
Damn girl, I even had to talk to your dad, man to man.
This is a good one too.
Yeah.
Not only do we have
a
team.
What's the name of it?
98 Braves.
98 Braves. There we go.
We have a team and a song now affiliated with our team.
And the haters came in right away.
Haters
came in. Richie and then Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Right when we had break. Because we did. We just adopted the Braves as our baseball team. We divorced the Rockies. We're done. And it's official.
Mm-hmm.
And so we adopted the Braves. And they're like, oh, y'all are hitching on wagons. So the winners, they won 150 games last year. Like, yeah, because we're winners. Yeah. That's what winners do. They stick together, right? So there you go.
Yeah. It's not like we adopted the Dodgers. Yeah, you know?
No.
Somebody tweeted me. My guy Steven tweeted me and said he adopted the Dodgers a couple years ago. That would feel a little dirty to me.
Yeah, you can't do that. We got some standards.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on. We got a few standards around here.
You know what I think it is? I think they're jealous they didn't think about doing it for a good team.
Exactly. The Orioles are a good team. How many games did the Orioles win last year? I mean, they're acting like
they
picked
were good last year.
They were great last year. They were great. I think they won the division.
They did.
So, I mean, these guys acting like they took, you know, I don't know, the Athletics.
Right.
Right? No. They took a really good time. How many games they win?
101.
Exactly.
Oh, come on,
These clowns don't even know how many games their team won. See? And they're coming at us. How many games did the Braves win?
104.
Exactly. Yeah. Unbelievable.
They won 104.3.
That's how bad. Oh, there you go. That's a good one. Yeah. Took me a little bit longer than you to catch that. That's how bad those guys are. They didn't even realize that they adopted a team that had 101 wins, and they're trying to come in here and make fun of us for drafting a team with 104.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's why they are officially dumb and dumber.
That's it. That is it. So, yeah, that's who we've adopted. It is the Braves that we're rolling with for the rest of the season. All right, we talked about the Broncos, and we know they created a ton of cap space, right? They had to do so because of the Russell Wilson cap hit, and they decided to eat the big bulk of it, the $53 million this year, to put it at just north of $30 million coming up here in 2025. So that's my question here, Stoke. They created all that room. They made room to go get some free agents. And let me pull it up for you again real quick. It is a team that with that cap space created and the roster moves that they made have only added 5 players to their roster. They are bottom of the NFL when it comes to free agency. The Broncos, the Falcons, and the Lions, Rams were teams that added 5. Only below them are the Ravens, Raiders at 4, the Chiefs, Packers at 3, the Colts 2, and the Cowboys only added the 1 there. So the Broncos did all that to bring in 5 new players. Is that, hey, state of the roster, salary cap problems that Russell Wilson had created, and them looking at 2025 as the next jump? Because that's where my brain goes of they're spending some money, or excuse me, they're saving some money so that they can spend some more in 2025.
Yeah, there you go. Like, just get our house in order.
Yeah.
Get our stuff in order, you know? And that's what we're doing right now. Obviously, it's not ideal. $53 million cap hit for Russ, okay? You don't have a quarterback. And you need a lot of work around the quarterback, the other position. So you see what happened last year. They spent a lot of money. I think the most in the NFL last year, right? Yep. Making it rain all over the place. So McGlinchey, Powers, Zach Allen. I mean, they spent a lot last year. And so this year it's kind of like, all right, let's take a step back. Take a deep breath. Let's get this thing. Let's build this thing up the right way, mm-hmm. right? Let's lay down the foundation for, you know, a great run for the next decade. You can't always go out there and spend and outspend everyone in free agency. That's not a good way to operate. It's not, right? And so I think they tried to plug some holes last year. It was okay. You know, like usually guys aren't hitting free agency that are, you know, the best of the best. They have some flaws there. Mm-hmm. And you have to overpay for those guys. So I think they realize that. And they plugged some holes last year, and this year, just like, all right, got to kind of bite the bullet here, and it might be tough. It's going to be a little bit more difficult than the year before, but that's just what it is. And let's get our stuff in order so we can start making a run, you know, really starting in 2025 moving forward.
Okay.
And I'm A-okay with it.
Me too.
I think it's about time that we did something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really reflect on yourself. And look inward, okay? And take a deep breath. Don't always think that you're going to win it.
Yeah.
Guess what? Memo. Denver Broncos aren't winning the Super Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. But sometimes it's hard to admit that and own that. And I think they realize, like, okay, you know what? We can't keep pretending that we're a contender because we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And they're handling it the right way. Get their house in order. And let's just build this thing up the right way. You got to hit.
Yeah.
Can't keep swinging and missing. So you got to hit in the draft, and you got to hit with some of these second, third-tier free agents.
Yeah, and I think that's very well said on your part of, like, the without them saying the rebuild, and this is a long play, the stuff we've heard coming out of Gerard Mayo in New England, that their actions are showing us that. But I am with you 100%, Stoke. I am with you that it's going to be weird to say this, but it's refreshing for that to be coming out of Dove Valley and who the Denver Broncos are, rather than, oh, no, no, we can make this work with Trevor Siemian. Well, no, we drafted Paxton Lynch. Oh, wait, we got Mark Sanchez. Oh, we just added Case Keenum on his historic run. You know what I mean? All these names that they tried to plug and play. We just got Teddy Bridgewater. Everything that they've tried to do has failed, and it's looked like a Band-Aid over the broken bones that we've talked about for this long. And I look at it as that. It's refreshing to go, they have a plan. They have a long-term plan, at least it feels as such. And I haven't felt that about the Denver Broncos since Peyton Manning was on the team.
Well, and it's not just a quarterback position, not just those quarterbacks. Right. Right? That's like, okay, you might have to do that this year. That might be Stidham and Zach Wilson, right? And a third-round draft pick. So you might be kind of going down that road with a middle to lower-end type of quarterback, but you're not going down that road and spending big in free agency, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't work. Like, that's disjointed. We're going to spend a ton of money in free agency saying that, hey, we're going to be winners. But then you look at the quarterback position and it says, no, we're not. They're not operating that way, which I think is a good thing. Now, the quarterback position, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what that looks like moving forward. Obviously, the draft's coming up. You know, do you get a young one? Do you go out there and try to add another piece with one of these veteran guys that are available? We'll see.
It's easy to look at what they've done, and I just mentioned they've added five additional players. It's the bottom of the barrel when it comes to NFL teams. And it's easy to think that, hear that, and go, wow, that's an F. They got an F then. Free agency has been absolutely terrible. But I think if you take a step back and you think about everything that goes into that, creating the cap room that they did create to be able to eat the cap hit from Russell Wilson in 2024, yeah. that all goes into it for me. And I'm not going to give them an F because they have added. And again, I would look at this as like a C. Maybe even a C+ I would reach for because of what they've done to be able to make a jump in 2025 with the moves happening here in 2024.
I give it an A.
Oh, really?
An A+.
Because of one big reason?
What reason are you talking about?
They got rid of Russ.
No, I wasn't thinking that, but okay. Yeah, I mean, that's on there. I just give them an A+ because, look, free agency isn't always about going out there and making the big splashy moves the first day of free agency. We did that last year. How'd that work out? Did y'all see like Ben Powers, McGlinchey, and Zach Allen just being all these all pros? They're getting paid like it though. Mm-hmm. So just because you're spending and you're overspending doesn't mean like, oh, this is a great free agency for us. Sometimes the best way to go about free agency is get second, third, fourth tier type of guys, get them cheap. And, you know, you get more bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. Like, spending big early usually doesn't work. It just usually doesn't work, folks. It's splashy. We love to hear the names. And we love to see the money being spent. That makes us think that these guys are great players. Mm-hmm. Usually they're not. Usually you're overpaying. That's what happened last year. Not saying those guys are bad players. McGlinchey, Powers, and Zach Allen, they're not bad players. But they're not all pros either. And they're getting paid like all pros. And so I don't mind handling your business this way, like they're doing this year.
Yeah.
You can do it every year. But you know what you have to do? The key is you've got to draft well.
Got to hit it.
Right?
Draft,
yep. If you don't draft well and develop well, then you know what? You got to go out there and spend in free agency. And that's not a recipe to win consistently. It's just not. So I was in Indy for 4 years. We hardly ever sign free agents. They drafted well, and they paid their guys. That's what you want to do. You want to pay your guys, right? And that's what the Colts did. And then every now and then, some of those guys had to leave. And that was just the model. Hey, we're going to pay Reggie. We're going to pay Marvin. We're going to pay Dallas Clark. You know, guys that we drafted offensive line-wise. Yep. You know, they had four or five offensive linemen, Edgerrin and guess Peyton. I mean, you know, and so they took care of their own, and you had to watch some guys leave every now and then. But they weren't ever. Bill Polian, general manager, never like a big player on the first couple of days of free agency. They waited for that to end, and then guess what they did? They went up and they picked up a couple Stokelys.
Yeah.
Four fifth-tier guys mm-hmm. that you're going to get for cheap, and you hope that they do well, and they fit in well. But their core guys were drafted, developed, and they paid them.
And that's got to be so great for culture of like, hey, you come here,
bingo,
do your job, meet or exceed expectations, and you're going to be rewarded for that.
Exactly.
That's such a beautiful way to do business.
Just a beautiful way to do business. Now, we need the Broncos
to
do beautiful business that way.
That's what we're hoping for. Yep. That's what we're hoping this year is going to start kicking that off. Hey, you looking for something to do Friday for opening day? The Rockies are going to play on Friday afternoon, and we're going to be partying downtown at El Patio, Denver. The rooftop is going to be popping. Come hang out with us right across from Coors Field. Stoke and I are going to walk you up to first pitch. The drive's going to keep the party going until 6. Plus, we're giving away a special prize, a sweet prize for you, but you have to be present. We're going to give it away before the game starts. You got to be on the rooftop at El Patio to win it. So come by, see us, ask us how you win, and it could be you that's taking home that sweet, sweet prize. All right, we'll take a time out. When we get back, I want to discuss the rise that Michael Penix Jr. is making this week on the draft boards. Is it legit, or is he just the latest quarterback flavor of the week? We'll kick that around next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Stoke, how real is the climb that Michael Penix Jr. is making right now? I feel like we're just kind of trading quarterbacks. It was Drake May, then it was J.J. McCarthy. I guess it's Michael Penix Jr. week to climb all the draft boards, because there was a couple reports out last night. CBS Sports had it. Jordan Schultz was tweeting all about it. That's your favorite guy. He tweeted a photo of Michael Penix Jr.'s apartment. And apparently, I sent it to you guys, I think. He drew plays on the mirror so that as he's getting ready, he can, you know, pre-snap, get the pre-snap reads on things he's going to look at. I never know if that's, like, legit or if that's, like, hey, look at how hard I'm working. I got plays on the mirror kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which one
exactly
do you think it is?
Like, hey, come take a picture of this. I'm going to put this up on the mirror and make sure you get this out.
Yeah.
I'm grinding in my apartment here. You know, like Shador's grinding next to his private plane on the tarmac.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all right, just show me with your actions.
There was a report about Mac Jones' draft year too, that he and his girlfriend lived together in their apartment in Alabama, and he would make her call things out, and he would decide how he's going to react to it there in the living room.
There you go.
And check, I mean, Mac has just lit the world on fire.
That's
now.
Right. Putting in that extra work. I mean, what does that do? Like, you got it on the mirror. Like, why don't you just have it on a piece of paper?
Right.
You know, I don't know. All right, to each their own.
Sure.
If it really helps you, then okay. To me, it's all for show. And that's just what it seems like for me. But you're right. You know, it's every year. This stuff happens. Like Bo Nix falling. Michael Penix Jr. falling. Now all of a sudden, it just flips. I mean, you know, Drake May stinks. And then, oh, he's great. Then he stinks. And he's great. Then he's, you know, I mean, that's every single year we see the same thing. So it's like, yeah, I don't know what to believe, what to trust, what to even think. You know, we got a few weeks here, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, now all of a sudden, Michael Penix Jr. is, you know, this unbelievable quarterback again. It's like, well, he hadn't even played a down,
yeah,
you know, in the last couple months. He went from being awful to great to awful to great.
There's a lot of folks talking about how great he looked at his pro day, throwing against nobody with no rushers at him, and routine work, like rehearsed work, what they had been doing. Now, I get it. You can learn some stuff from a pro day, but wouldn't flip me the way it seems like it's flipped some people in the media. Like I said, Jordan Schultz calling him locked in as his draft preparation. Denver Gazette columnist Mark Kisla called him the best fit for the Denver Broncos.
Okay, what, Jordan Schultz, where is he from?
He's from Seattle.
Yeah. Where's Washington at?
It's in Seattle.
Right outside of Seattle. So there you go. That tells you a lot about his view of Michael Penix Jr., I would guess, you know. And moving forward, you like to have some stories. Well, hey, remember what I did for you in the draft? You know, I just pumped you up the whole time. So not saying that's how this is working, but, you know.
It works
not
like
saying
that sometimes.
It's not how it's working. Right.
I think I feel differently about Penix Jr.'s injury history than you do. Of course, it's a concern. But I kind of look at it, I give him a little bit more credit to bounce back and play at that high level after, you know, having to deal with the injuries, recover from the injuries, rehab from the injuries, because he is going to get hurt again. Like, he is going to have to deal with injuries at the NFL level.
And why?
Because you get hurt in the NFL.
I mean,
100% success rate.
Well, but like what kind of injury?
Okay, that's
fair.
You
know, like his injuries are a lot different. His injuries are like season-ending injuries, and he plays a quarterback position. It's not like he's the running back position. So that for me is what really scares me. It's like, yeah, people are going to get banged up, but usually they can play through it, especially at the quarterback position. His banged up is just like, all right, season over. ACL.
Yeah.
Season over ACL. Season over shoulder. Season over shoulder.
But, I mean, Bo Nix could come in and tear his ACL year one as well.
Well, yeah, but you have to look at the history. You know, for me, I think that's, you know, it's a part of the evaluation for
that's
me.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, like, it's more of a gamble on a guy that's, you know, had that type of history. I mean, I didn't, you know, I tore my ACL once in college.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. I never was hurt in high school, nothing. And then I get to the NFL and I can't stay healthy. So, you know, it's like, it's just part of the evaluation. You never know how it, Michael Penix Jr. might play for the next decade and not get hurt. But for me, it's a risk because of that, especially if it's at 12.
Mm-hmm.
Like at 12, we're going to gamble on a guy like that. To me, that's too big of a risk.
And see, I would agree with you on that. 12, it's too big of a risk. I'm there with you. And I,
what makes you feel better? What number? Second round, late first round, 20s, late teens? Like where are you at with that? If you liked him and you wanted to pick him, where's a good spot?
I wouldn't mind a late first round because it gives you that fifth year control, right? It's the Lamar Jackson situation with what the Baltimore Ravens did a few years back. Second round is more where I see it actually happening. But again, then I wonder if he's even there around
the
second round because of what the Raiders have talked about falling in love with the kid there. So 12 is way too early for me, for Michael Penix Jr.
Okay.
I feel like we've talked ourselves into Bo Nix at 12, and
yeah.
I didn't feel good about that originally. So I'm definitely not in on a Michael Penix Jr. at 12. You feel the same way?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very concerned with the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not in a position to gamble right now on a quarterback. You got to love him. And I think that's a big reach there for the Denver Broncos at 12, given, you know, how his career started there with Indiana. Mm-hmm. Four straight years of not finishing a season.
Yeah.
A couple ACLs, a couple shoulders. That's not ideal. He's going to get hit more in the NFL. He's not a big body guy. So that's just too big of a concern for me. And so it scares me away. We're not, you know, we're in a position now where we have to just get good football players. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at, unfortunately. It's not gambling time for the Broncos.
And he's lefty. Well, that means McGlinchey's protecting the blind side, and there's questions about McGlinchey already. And then he's protecting a rookie quarterback with injury history on his blind side. So there's another little layer of, well, not sure that's a fit there for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I think you have to consider that. Yeah, certainly. The whole thing is going to be interesting because you like all of you know you're talking about the Raiders. The Raiders love Michael Penix Jr. Do they? Who said that? Did they say that?
Just
who
reports,
said,
right.
Who's speaking for the Raiders? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like a reporter is.
Uh huh.
Or you know, it's like okay, well, why? That's what you have to ask yourself mm-hmm. this time of year. Do they really like him, or do they want people to think they really like him?
Yeah.
And do they really like Bo Nix? You know, I mean, so that's where I'm at when I hear, like, oh, the Raiders, man, it seems like they really like Mike. They'd love to get their hands on Michael Penix Jr. And it's like, oh, really? So Antonio Pierce said that? Or did the reporter say that?
Yeah.
Oh, a reporter said that. Well, why? You know, who's telling them that? And what angle? Why are they telling him that? It's hard to believe. You just don't know what to believe. You know, Sean telling us it's realistic to move up to four if they, you know, they can do it if they want to do it. I'm like, well, why is he telling us that? People are saying that he loves J.J. McCarthy. Well, did he tell someone that, or did someone make that up? Are they lying? You know, and that's what makes this time of year so great.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Broncos country, what do you think? Would you take the risk on Michael Penix Jr.? Is it too early at 12 the way Stoke and I feel? Tell us at 303-713-1043. Text line powered by Ramos Law. We'll react to a few of your texts right there. But it's lunchtime on a Wednesday. We're going to talk about the newest Bronco and an awesome nickname that I learned yesterday about him. Discuss where we believe Jamal Murray and the timeline will look like for his return. And tell you the things with several S's at the end of it that went wrong with the Rockies last night at Wrigley. All of it coming up next.